ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सदाशिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम इमं च कृत्रिमानन्दम् तावत् साधु समुभ्यसेत् वश्यो यावत् क्षणात् पुंसः प्रयुक्तः सन् भवेत् स्वयम् सो हियर् अकृत्रिम आनन्दः मीन्स् टैम् बौण्ड् प्लेजर् डिपेण्डेण्ट् आन् एन् एक्स्टर्नल् आब्जेक्ट् अण्ड् हियर् अकृत्रिम आनन्दः ईस् फुल्नेस् अन्क्रियेटेड् अन्नाचुरल् स्वरूपम् कृत्रिम आर्टिफिशियल् अकृत्रिम नेचुरल् ओरिजिनल् So, pleasure, akritrivanandam tavat sadhu samabhyaset. So, in forgetting one's limitations, what one experiences is this akritrivanandaha. Now, when do you have pleasure? I explained to you in the class last time itself. Pleasure is an experience which we go through whenever we forget ourselves. Forgetting ourselves means what? You know, forgetting ourselves in the sense forgetting our limitations also. Forgetting yourself implies forgetting your limitations also. So whenever you forget your limitations and yourself, how do you forget? Because you are allowed to remember yourself, which means something else is holding your attention totally. Therefore, when an external object holds your attention totally, takes you away totally towards itself, then you forget yourself and your limitations also. It's called apurnata. Limitation, you know, apurnata, apurnatvam means incompleteness or limited, being limited. So that being your limitations are forgotten. Apurnata is forgotten when an object holds attention. Why apurnata is the incompleteness or limitations are forgotten? Because you yourself are forgotten by you. Whereas in akritrimanandaha, that is when you have this kritrimanandaha, isn't it? Akritrimanandaha, the natural swarupam, is manifest when you negate all the limitations. See, in forgetting your limitations, what you have is akritrimanandaha. In negating the limitations, as I, the consciousness, I am free from all limitations. When you negate all the limitations, isn't it? Superimposed upon the self, I, what is there is? Manifestation of fullness. This is the thing. In both, limitations are involved, isn't it? In akritrimanandaha, in pleasure, limitations are forgotten. In purnanandaha, in kritrimanandaha, in pleasure, limitations are forgotten. When limitations are forgotten, what you experience is pleasure. When limitations are negated, what you have is the purnanandaha. But how can I negate the limitations? Unless you know. You remember you know you totally. So when you know you're totally conscious of yourself, which means you know you are, you know what you are. When you know that you are, you know, Chaitanyam Brahma, in that what you are not also is what, no, simultaneously is very clear. What you are not, when it is simultaneously very clear. See, the two things, isn't it? What I am is very clear, therefore what I am not also is very clear. So being clear about what I am not is what? Negating the limitations. In negation, when the limitations are negated, what is there is manifestation of fullness, which is your own swarupam, which is not time bound pleasure. Okay, that fullness, as once you, the fullness which is not an experience, but which is manifestation of one's own swarupam, which is there, you know, in resolving, negating one's limitations, in the wake of knowledge of what one is not and what one is, you know, that fullness, you know, must become what now? Must becomes, you know, that fullness being also swarupam, until it becomes ascertained, one should be contemplative. That's what is said in the previous verse. How long should I practice contemplation, isn't it? As long as that vision of fullness being your swarupam becomes unforgettable. Okay.
Tata-sadhana-nirmuktaha
Siddho-bhavati-yogirat
Tatsvarupam-na-chaitasya
Vishayo-manaso-giram. Okay. Tataha. Whereafter, after having taken the ownership of fullness as one's own swarupam, and that vision of fullness becomes unforgettable for him. You know, the vision of the self being the whole becomes unforgettable. When a person remains in contemplation, then what happens? Then contemplation also, contemplation is not an effortful action, and he is always in contemplation only. And then being is contemplation for him. So contemplation is not an action then, it is very natural being. Pahacha person is called a wise person. Therefore, tataha, thereafter. When the vision becomes ascertained, thereafter means tataha, no, jnana nishtha anantaram. After having the ascertained vision of the self being the whole, after having the vision of the fullness being its own swarupam, that is a permanent vision, isn't it? Why? Because what is the object of vision for him? At least from his own swarupam. Isn't it? Object of vision being his own swarupam, how can it go? An object can come and go. You cannot go. Isn't it? Therefore, that's a permanent one. Thereafter. Okay? Such a wise person. Yogirat. Yogirat means what now? He is a wise person is said to be the exalted among the yogis. A wise person said to be the exalted among the yogis, Yogirat. That person, the wise person, the person of fullness, the man of the vision of fullness, the exalted among the yogis, சித்தஹ பவதி. சித்தஹம் இவட்டோ அக்காம்ப்ளிஷர், தி மேன் ஆஃப் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்மெண்ட். சித்தஹ மீன்ஸ் தி மேன் ஆஃப் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்மெண்ட். அண்ட் திஸ் பர்சன் ஆஃப் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்மெண்ட், நோ இன் தமிழ் விசே சித்தாஸ். When the yogic practices, actually, people who are given to the practice of yogas, practice of these different limbs of yoga, as a result of that meditation, they get lot of siddhis. The one who is endowed with this siddhi means success, siddhi literally means success, siddhihi, ikaranta stilinga shabdaha, which means a success, achievement, accomplishment. So, siddhihi means what is accomplished as a result of meditation is called siddhihi. So, many occult powers they're blessed with, like anima, marihuana, etc. There's many occult powers which they become blessed with. So, there are also one who is blessed with those siddhis, one who has accomplished those siddhis as a result of his serious practice of meditation is also called siddhaha. Siddha Purushara is the one who has accomplished many siddhis. But here, as a Vedanti, this person siddhaha means what? I mean, Vedanta Drishti, the real accomplisher is not the accomplisher of the siddhis, not the one who has lot of powers. See, powers are like vanishing wealth only. How any artha is subject to get vanished? No, like any enjoyment of pleasure is subject to get vanished. So this accomplishment of siddhi is also what? No, time-bound in nature. They can't get nitya sukham. Therefore, but this yogirat, this person of the exalt among the yogis, who is he? Is not this ordinary yogirat here. He is a wise person for whom he is the one who has accomplished the absolute. Why? Because for him fullness is now taken, as his own swarupam. And this yogirat is also siddhaha, the real accomplisher in the vision of Vedanta. Siddhaha tataha yogirat siddhaha. This person becomes what now? Who is this person now? Sadhana nirmuktaha. Sadhanam means different practices. Sadhanam, different means, disciplines. Different practices, sadhana, nirmukta is completely free from all forms of practices. Why now? How? Because he doesn't require anymore any practice, isn't it? See, as a lazy person, first one needs to do karma. A laziest person cannot become jnani overnight, jump and become a jnani. The lazy person, to get rid of the laziness, one has to involve himself in some sort of physical activity. Then becomes rajas, isn't it? Then afterwards, what now? And then to dismanage, make him sattvic, he has to become a karma yogi. Then he has to pass, and also has to do, to become sattvic. Isn't it? Then he becomes what now? Then he is prepared for jnana yoga. A sattvic person, one is prepared for jnana yoga. See, karma yoga converts the lazy idol into a tamasic person. The one who is predominantly tamasic becomes rajasic. The rajasic upasanam really makes the rajasic person a sattvic. See, in everyone, sattvam, tamaha, rajaha, all of them are predominant. All of them are there. But which is predominant? We'll see this in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Gunatraya Bhava Yoga. Isn't it? So who is predominantly sattvic? Who is predominantly rajasic? Who is predominantly tamasic? So predominantly sattvic is said to be a brahmana. Not the one who is born in the family of brahmana becomes a brahmana. One who is predominantly sattvic is a brahmana. Meaning one who is eligible, sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. One who entered with these fourfold qualifications, one who is eligible for the pursuit of knowledge, study of the shastra, jnana yoga. As a sattvic person, one can enter into study of the Shastram. Otherwise, they'll feel bored with the repeated teachings, subtle teaching. So the sattvic person, how can I become a sattvic? How can I become a prepared, qualified person? Qualified person is the sattvic, sattvikaha purushaha, one who is predominantly sattvic. And for which, you know, he takes to study of Shastram. And what prepared his mind, which before he must have been very rajasic. When he is highly, predominantly rajasic, meditation helps him to become, meditation leads him, upasanam leads him to, meditation means what now? Kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma, isn't it? Here worship, prayer, then this japam, meditation, saguna brahma, dhyanam, helps him, this is japa, helps one to, prepares one for the becoming sattvic person. One is converted from being predominantly rajasic and then he into become predominantly sattvic. And before rajasic, what was he? What is a person? He is highly tamasic. The person is highly predominantly tamasic and he is advised to live a life of karma yoga. Then he becomes rajasic. Then predominantly rajasic. Then he is advised to, you know, also for which not one or the other simultaneously. He is also what now? He is asked this name, Upasana Kanda. Upasana is for him to become sattvic. Then when he becomes sattvic, then Jnana Yoga. Basically, you know, karma, upasana, jnana. That's why Veda has three parts. Jnana Kanda, karma kandaha, upasana kandaha, jnana kandaha. It's like really make shape, it's called shaping, isn't it? Take a raw piece of clay ball and like it sits like a lump of clay and slowly you start working on it, shape it, shape it, shape it, shape it and get a beautiful statue out of it. Chiseling away with all the unwanted portions of the rock. The rock, there is beautiful statue. But the statue, you don't, you see only piece of rock there. Which is literally, which is a formless. And what do? Slowly chisel away the unwanted portions. But how? And then when the features become sharper, you're much more careful in removing the unwanted portions. Because you don't break the fine features, sharp features. Then you get the statue. That's called what now? Manifestation of divinity. Is already in man. Manifestation of fullness which is already in man. Manifestation of purna jnana which is already in man. Isn't it? That is what for which a conversion is needed, isn't it? This tamasic, to convert the tamasic into rajasic, karmakanda. To convert the rajasic person into a sattvic person, upasana kanda. Then the sattvic person, is a predominant sattvic person, is given to the study of jnana kanda. Then jnana kanda helped him, what now? Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha means what now? Helps him to recognize the self being free from all the gunas. Okay, sattva. Tamas pradhanaha, rajas pradhanaha, sattva pradhanaha, then nirgunaha. Jnana kanda is into nirgunaha. Therefore, here all forms, so we have all sets of living life, karma yoga, then worship, prayer, meditation, japaha, etc. Then study of the shastra. Also seventh. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all the prakrana granthas, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, all this study. Now, what does this wise person need? Now, he is free from the requirement of all those. Even Shastram is not needed for him. Shastram has served its purpose for him. Is free from all sorts of disciplines and practices. Okay, they all have served a purpose. That's what he says here. So sadhana nirmuktaha means he is completely free from the requirement of all those different practices. In second chapter we have a beautiful verse. Remember what we chose? Yavan artha udapane sarvataha sampluta udake udapane yavan artha tavan vedeshu sarveshu vijanataha brahmanasya. For the one, the wise person who knows the self being Brahman, for him, what is there in the Vedas, what is there in Upanishads, what is there in all the scriptures, what is there in the, all the libraries or books of all the whole of the Jagat, is like the water, the reservoir full of water in the place flooded with water. Which means it doesn't serve any purpose, isn't it? That's what he said here as a, he becomes free from all forms of practices and discipline, means he doesn't require them anymore, such a person. And you see, tat swarupam na nacha etasya vishayaha manasaha giram. Swarupam, tat swarupam, real nature, swarupam is what, no? The real nature, in the truth of the mind, manasaha, the truth of the mind, then giram swarupam. That. Now he becomes free from all disciplines. What does it mean here? The truth of the mind and truth of the speech also. What is that without which the speech cannot exist? Speech is not possible. What is it without which the mind can, the thinking is not possible? Mind cannot exist. That is the truth of the mind and speech, isn't it? It implies the truth of everything. The truth of the senses and the mind, speech also, words, and the truth of everything, swarupam, is no more an object of knowledge for him. Is not an object. Okay, for him, self is the truth of the mind. Self is the truth of the speech. Self is the truth of everything that is here. Na vishaya means no more an object. Before knowledge, the truth of object becomes what? Truth of any speech becomes an object of knowledge. Chair means for him, this namarupa is the chair. It's okay, relatively it's fine. Absolutely, what is that which lends existence to the chair? It is knowledge of the chair. What is the knowledge? Knowledge is knower. What is the knower? I, what I am, consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, for him, no object of speech and no object of perception is real. The truth of everything is not an object, means the truth of everything is for him the self. Vishayaha na bhavati. Is it clear? Hope you understood it. Which means, again another way of saying, for him, everything he sees, the truth of everything, as the self. He sees the self as the truth of everything. Okay? He sees that. One more thing you have to understand. And the truth of one's own self, isn't it? One's own swarupam never is an object of knowledge. Because it is indescribable, the truth of oneself, one's own real nature, tasya purushasya, that swarup means, tasya purushasya swarupam, for that wise person, his swarupam, tasya swarupam, isn't it? The his swarupam, his real nature, very important another word, okay? The His Swarupam, His own real nature, His Self never becomes an object of knowledge, of words, or of the mind. Is it? This is a very important thing. Who is that wise person, Siddhaha, this man of accomplishment, and the exalted among the yogis? This wise person revels in the vision of fullness. This person, for him, the truth of the self, or nature of the self, which means one's own self, the self is never an object of knowledge, of not, I mean, it's not describable, not an object. A describable object is not no perceptible object, is it? It's not a conceivable object. Self is not a conceivable object. Self is not a perceptible object. Self is not a describable object. Is it clear? That is why manasaha, for the mind, or the giram. Gir means word. Gir means speech, bhasha. That is why Sanskrit is called girvani. Gir means word. Gir. And the third case is gira. No, but here giram is a possessive plural of the words. Gir. Giram is a possessive plural. So giram. Vishayaha na bhavati. What does not become the vishaya? Vishaya means object, does not become an object. What does not become an object here? The self, swarupam. For whom? For a wise person. For a wise person, whose swarupam does not become an object? His own swarupam. His own swarupam is what? His self, the self, the substance of substantive, I, never becomes an object of knowledge, describable by the words, or doesn't become an object of perception, perceptible through senses, never becomes an object of knowledge, conceivable by the mind. Okay? Is ever the subject. For himself is the self is ever the subject, and the whole jagat is ever the object, and for him all that is here is only the self. Okay. Now, having talked about the wise person, have we talked about the Vedantic view of different limbs, steps here? Now, having talked about the wise person also, now this text introduces the obstacles involved in contemplation, meditation. What are those obstacles? Why? If we know what the obstacles are, and we can think of what is the cause for those obstacles, if we know, and we can try to eliminate those obstacles so that we can be successful. Samadhau kriyamane to.
Samadhau kriyamane to.
Vignan yayanti vai balat.
Vignan yayanti vai balat.
In Sanskrit, this book, Vignaha is given in masculine gender. Here, Vignani in neuter gender. What do you all have?
Vignani.
Vignani, okay. Samadhau kriyamane tu.
Samadhau kriyamane tu.
Vignan yayanti vai balat.
Vignan yayanti vai balat.
Anusandhana rahityam.
Anusandhana rahityam.
Alasyam.
Alasyam.
Bhogalalasam.
Bhogalalasam.
Okay. You know what is samadhi? In the light of Vedanta, isn't it? So here, samadhau kriyamane. When a person is given to the practice of samadhi, as said here in the Vedanta, Vedantic view, is it? Samadhi, when given to the contemplation, what happens? Vignani ayanti, balat ayanti. Ayanti means agachandi, occur, happen. Vignani, not one obstacle, many obstacles come. And mainly, we are going to see these obstacles in Mandukya Upanishad. Gaudapadacharya ji mentions there what those obstacles. He mainly presents four obstacles and a solution for those, removal of the four obstacles also there. But here he presents it more, some eight or something, we'll see. So he says, Vignani ayanti balat. Balat means what now? Forcibly all obstacles come. Which means, isn't it, your effort is not enough. Already you make effort to be contemplative, meditative. But what happens? Obstacles come forcibly. Vignani ayanti balat. And what are those obstacles? He first mentions three. Look at this. Anusandhana rahityam. Anusandhanam means meditation. Rahitya means being devoid of, absence is called rahityam. Rahityam, isn't it? Rahitya means absence. Anusandhana rahitya means absence of meditation, constant dwelling. Actually, anusandhanam, its appropriate meaning is constant dwelling. If you want, I taught the meaning of this word when I taught Bhagavad Gita, I think, in Anna's house.
Yeah. Did you?
When did I teach? When I started the class, maybe few in the very early classes, I had Bhagavad Gita on Saturdays. What time we were all meeting? 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 2:30, I think. Because we had to wait for Richard and Anne to come. Bhagavad Gita, Bhavad Veshini. That I said, Anusandadhami. That time I explained the meaning of this word. Meditation, in a constant dwelling. Constant dwelling. It's called anusandhanam, which is called meditation. Hey, O Mother Bhagavad Gita, I constantly dwell upon you. Means what now? Subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. That is the meaning. So, because I explained the root there, dha is the dhatu, root. See, the dhati means places, placing. See? Now, Swamini Petikam Dadhati. Dadhati means places. Then, Sandadhati. It's also placing only, isn't it? But, putting it correctly, properly. Sandadhati means places properly. Anusandadhati means continuously places the. Isn't it? So, dadhati, sandadhati, samyak dadhati, sandadhati, places properly, appropriately, correctly. But here, in dhyanam, what is placed on what? attention of the mind, the placement or the placing of the attention of the mind is called sandhanam. On what? The object of the placing of the attention of the mind is sagunam brahma, it is meditation. If the object of the attention of placing is the nirguna brahma, it is brahma chaitanyam, one's own swarupam, then it is contemplation. Is it clear? Saguna upasanam is for mental steadiness, but nirguna brahma upasanam, my contemplation upon one's own swarup, is for ascertainment. Isn't it? So here, that how should you place your mind for some time and take it away? That is not meditation, isn't it here? Anu. Anu means constantly, continuously, without taking attention from there. Which means without being distracted. My attention is placed here, here, here means you are not continuously with one thing, isn't it? Therefore, anusandhanam is another highly expressive term for proper contemplation. There is no improper contemplation. Just the contemplation means either it's proper or there is no contemplation. Anusandhanam. You know, this term is very expressive. Anusandhanam. This you get the word anusandhadhami. There. This I explained that time. Okay. Now, anusandhana rahityam means the absence of that constant dwelling is an obstacle. Being with the vastu, remaining with the vastu is samadhi, isn't it? What is samadhi according to in Vedanta? Here, samadhi here is being with the vastu all the time. You are not able to be with the self. You are not able to by yourself. You are not able to be with yourself. You are not able to be with the reality. Why? Because attention is not placed all the time there. Due to the absence of meditation. So anusandhana rahityam. Why I am not able to be with the reality? Why there is no samadhi? Because you are not contemplative. Simply finished, okay? Anusandhana rahityam. You have understood, you have done the shravanam, you understood. You have done the, no? You know what the vastu is. But still, what do you need? After shravanam and mananam, I am nididhyasanam sometimes, okay? I am not doing it, isn't it? There is no adequate nididhyasanam. Inadequacy of nididhyasanam also does, you know, prevents you from being with the reality. It's called anusandhana rahityam, number one obstacle. Thereafter, alasyam. Alasyam is laziness. Here. The laziness means, because our whole life is governed by our moods. See, we must be in a given mood to go do a given thing. Very natural. Isn't it? Somebody comes and asks me, will you please sing a song now? Immediately I should be ready to sing. No, I'm not a mood to sing. Will you please tell me this, what it is here, the meaning? Oh, I'm not in a mood to tell you this. Even if I'm in a mood, I sometimes know, it is not appropriate to say, then we don't say also, that's a different thing. But here, a mood. Would you please get it done for me? No, I'm not in a mood. Because we are very moody. Not only one person, all of us are moody people. therefore that being moody is also Vatna. Yeah, moody are the moodaha, says Swamiji. Therefore, it's called actually here alasyam. You know, that why the mood is not there. To do anything right, appropriate, there must be mood, isn't it? What is that? That is the obstacle, isn't it? Alasyam, laziness. Then bhoga lalasam, isn't it? Bhoga lalasam. Now, lalasam means actually the love for attachment to, the desire for, isn't it? Bhogaha. Bhogaha means what now? Enjoyment. So, here, very difficult, isn't it? That is why it is very important to associate oneself with sadhus and shastram, so that it will help you to be away from, you know. See, the bhogal alasam implies, it's a very elaborate thing, I have to tell you very clearly. It is sort of deceive for some sort of enjoyment of pleasures. Enjoyment of the objects of pleasures. It's very natural. So, Shastram does not condemn, does not say it is wrong to be desirous of the enjoyment of pleasures. He's talking about the person who's desperate about moksha and jnanam. And if he complains, it's a very simple thing, isn't it? What is the priority? Then if you're still interested in enjoyment of pleasures, nobody's stopping you. Come on, go. No, enjoy. And then there'll be some, the pleasure will not be permanent. Then there'll be pain, there'll be suffering, and they'll come back here. This one has to live one's life to some extent. See, we always tell when the children fall down, let the child fall. Only then child will know. Now, to get, it will pain if I fall. Then be very careful. Similarly, Shastram sanctions a human being to enjoy the pleasure, enjoy the world. The whole Grihastashrama life is for living this life and to know the limitations of life. You know that you have to live your life properly in order to know the limitations of life. That they cannot give you what you want in life. And definitely you should be very clear that what I want is not here. If you know only, there comes real vairagyam, dispassion. And dispassion is not possible. See, dispassion can be forced on somebody. Come on, you become dispassionate overnight. You cannot tell anybody. Test to become natural. As you're walking on the road, if you want to buy a medicine, you see so many you see all those shops here, but you don't get the medicine there. You go straight to the chemist. Why? Because drug is available only there. Ignore all of them. Isn't it? You can either have hatred or raga or dvesha for all of them. But attention is go there, because what is wanted by you, what you want is not available here, means you are not interested here. That is vairagyam, isn't it? So here also, what I want is not here. That is remembered, means naturally. I'm desperate to get that. And what I want is not here. Then what do I have to do with this? You grow out of it, isn't it? Grow out of desire for it. That's called what now? Dispassion. The vairagyam comes, the naturally ripened fruit is what now? Ripening of the mind is called vairagyam. And you understand the limitations, that they cannot give me what I want in life. That vairagyam person is, then you are able to be focused, isn't it? But still, you attend Vedanta class once in a while and you also understand moksha, sampurushartha, moksha, nice to have moksha jnanam. But I want to go for everything, I want to have everything. That's okay. That's in the beginning, it's okay. It's also okay. But how long? But don't complain. How long should I be studying? How long should I be studying? How long should I be repeatedly listening to the same thing, boring? Because there's a lingering desire for the objects of enjoyment, of pleasures, isn't it? I have a bhogalalasam. desire for, thirst for, the passion for the enjoyment of pleasures, the objects of pleasures, is what now called bhogalalasam. This becomes an third obstacle. So, having the desire is okay, but you can ignore the desire, manage the desire. Having the desire is not wrong, but managing the desire, focus, isn't it? Is solution for that. Okay, we'll see the solution later on. Now, only see the problems now. Anusandhana rahityam, alasyam, bhogalalasam, three vignani. Then, layastamascha vikshepo. Rasaswadascha shunyata.
Rasaswadascha shunyata.
So, interest and enjoyment, the desire for enjoyment is bhogalalasam. Then, layastamascha vikshepo.
Layastamascha vikshepo.
Rasaswadascha shunyata.
Rasaswadascha shunyata.
Evam yad vigna bahulyam.
Evam yad vigna bahulyam.
Tyajyam brahma vidashanaihi.
Tyajyam brahma vidashanaihi.
Shanaihi. So, now, layaha is a fourth obstacle. Layaha, here not resolution or being resolved here. Layaha is sleep. Why sleep is called layaha? Because when all the thoughts, the mind thoughts are resolved, and there is what? Sleep. In sleep, isn't it? The sleep. Whenever I sit for meditation, slowly we start snoring. I tell you, only when you sit for meditation, you will suddenly fall asleep. If you fall asleep, how can meditation be successful, isn't it? Meditation cannot be successful. You fall asleep in meditation. But falling asleep is a natural problem. It's not wrong, isn't it? But it is not right. It's not because it's not. We can't afford to be sleeping in meditation, isn't it? Oh, many people come and tell me this. When I sit for meditation, I fall asleep. What to do? Layaha. And here, yes, the sleep comes because, you know, three reasons are given why sleep is. The sleep is because asesha nidra. Now, inadequate sleep. If you don't have enough rest, don't give enough rest. The people who want to meditate must take care of the sleep definitely. Should give enough rest for the mind. Definitely must sleep well. Even if you love Mac, you can't be sitting overnight. Okay, what is the latest Microsoft? More than that man, the chairman of the company, who works, they have that well-paid R&D department, and then but even they sleep. But we work very hard. That sometimes it happens. Therefore, if we don't sleep enough also, we don't sleep enough also, what now? Sleep will come in. One reason is inadequacy, okay, in asesha. When we don't have enough rest, don't sleep enough, then that also becomes an obstacle. So the person who wants to be contemplative should definitely take care of that he sleeps well. Then, another problem is what now? Here we don't eat at all also becomes, now anashanam lagvashaha or what now? We also have bahuashanam. Overeating also becomes the reason for your sleep. Sometimes now the physically you strain. Overstraining physically when you strain yourself. Also then meditation is, the sleep comes. Physical strain also results in sleep. Okay, therefore, this we will see afterwards the solution anyway. Layaha. Then tamaha. லயஹ தமஹ. சி தமஹ இன் லயா யூ ஃபீல் ரியலி ஃபால் அஸ்லீப், யூ ஆர் ஆஃப் ஆக்சுவலி. இன் தமஹ யூ ஆர் வெரி டல், யூ ஆர் ட்ரௌசி டோட்டலி. யூ பி யுவர் செல்ஃப் பீங் நாக்ட் ஆஃப் இஸ் டிஃபரண்ட். யூ ஆர் நாட் தேர் டு மெடிடேட், யூ ஆர் வெரி மச் தேர் பட் ஸ்டில் யூ ஆர் வெரி ட்ரௌசி அண்ட் ஸ்லீப்பி. யூ மஸ்ட் பி ஃப்ரெஷ் இன் தி மைண்ட், இஸ்ன்ட் இட்? Understand, very close to each other. First there is a tamah, then laya. But being drowsy and being, you know, just called tamah, that becomes an obstacle. These are all natural obstacles we have. How to sort them out, that we'll see later on. First we understand the problems, what we have in contemplation. Then, vikshepaha. Vikshepaha. You know, vikshepaha is actually becoming overactive, becoming hyper. Being hyper, becoming overactive. What overactive? Mentally. Mentally becoming highly restless, highly agitated. See, you understood the vastu, you're fine. Shravanam you have done, clear. You know, the problem is shravanam, at least with a good teacher and the continuous systematic study, you both must be there for clear knowledge, definitely. You understand things, but it never does it become ascertained, because there's no contemplation, because there are lots of obstacles like the sitting. Other people complain, oh, I'm waiting for the experience. Either they have lots of sati quality. I see in school also, you know. Really, because of some sort of a commitment to things, really sattvic. I can't say that really. But the problem here is, you know, the vastu is not clear. Now, some people, if you see in all the maths and all, they study. Vastu is clear, but they are not contemplative. Vastu is clear, understanding may be there, but it doesn't become really assimilated, isn't it? Because they are not adequately contemplative. And for they are not able to be contemplative because these problems are there. Vikshepaha means too many thoughts come. Completely you are helpless, not that you are creating the thoughts. See, here we are not seeing these problems as our own creation. We are only seeing these problems as the natural problems. So how to, understand what I'm saying? You're not, nobody's saying, oh, it's wrong to have thoughts. Shastram does not find fault with us for the problems we have. It's only saying these problems are very natural. You know, that's the beauty of Shastram, isn't it? If you have, oh my God, you have, that means one another, you already know where you are made to feel guilty. All the time you are okay, the problem is not yours. You know, the problem is natural. That is why mothering. That's what is mothering. Know that? Mothering means always fondle, not you are not the problem, but you have. There is a problem. Okay, therefore that problem needs to be corrected also. The mother has to make sure that the problems are corrected. Like a Shuddhi takes care of all these things. So here, vikshepaha, isn't it? Over-agitatedness. It's called vikshepaha. That becomes a problem. That becomes an obstacle there. Too many thoughts come in, you are not able to be focused. That is why Rasa Aswadaha means, is an interesting thing. Generally the word Rasaha means joy. Aswadaha means enjoyment at tasting. Rasasya Aswadaha, isn't it? like tasting, relishing of something is called what? Rasaswadaha. Literal meaning is relishing of the joy. Yes, aswadaha. See, when you are being indulgent in the pleasure, even if you are meditative, or also sometimes what happens? You have some sort of pleasure, not in contemplation, is it? Because every time I knock out the thoughts, some pleasure is there. And you are not able to come out of it. I am happy with the samadhi experience. I am meditating. Once I sit in meditation, because of meditation, what happened now? Every time I sit, I get into samadhi. It's another big obstacle. People who are given to, they say, better not to go for this samadhi business at all. It's like, no, suppose if you never tasted ice cream, can you have desire for ice cream? That is why certain innocence is preserved. Innocence is very important in India. Preserving innocence is maintained in India. In a way, not that we want it to be ignorant. Unwanted things you need not be exposed to. That's why children, when we are children, be a child, okay? The parents will tell us off. When they talk something, they'll push it out. We never still listen to what the elders are talking. Why? It's unwanted. Being exposed to what is not necessary for us, unnecessary thing for us, really will become a problem in the growth of emotional growth of a person. So innocence also has to be preserved to a certain degree, so that you will never have desire for that. But what is natural instincts are there, that has to be taken care of. What is to be, you can never have that. Suppose you are given to the practice of meditation. You practice meditation and for it to become calm. Then switch over to what now? Shastra Shravanam. Go, I am only meditating. I don't want Shastram at all. Finished, that's all. I don't want Shastra study. Meditation must be to calm your mind. Enough. Mantra japa, etc. Don't go deep. Then what now? Then you become what a samadhi experience you have. And every time you knock yourself off, there is a pleasure, rasa swadaha, like in sleep. And you become cozy in that. And you want to be in that itself. It's called rasa swadaha. Okay, being indulgent in the pleasure and not wanting to come out of it. So again and again I go only for samadhi. Interest only in samadhi. Why? It's a pleasure for me, isn't it? Every time it's like sleep. Then I don't need to work for moksha or jnanam. That also becomes what now? Becomes an obstacle. Rahaswadaha. Is called relishing of the joy, pleasure one has in, isn't it? Samadhi experience also becomes an obstacle. Because you get stuck with that experience, isn't it? You want the experience again and again. People want experiences. You're cozy with the experience, so you want to have it. For rasaswadaha, that is another obstacle. See, these here words are used differently to mean certain things. You found the difference here. Vikshepaha, you have to understand here contextual meaning of these words. Then shunyata. Shunyata means, mind becoming blank. It's called stabdhi bhavaha in Sanskrit. Stabdhi bhavaha. Dhirahaswadaha also means sense of contentment. The sense of contentment is a people think it is right thing, isn't it? Be contented with whatever you are, you have. Be contented means, now, in terms of artha, whatever you have accomplished, be contented with that. In terms of karma, pleasures, you be contented with that. Okay? In terms of, that is okay. Be contented, don't crave for more, that's fine. Be contented with what now? Okay, now I'm physically healthy, mentally healthy, everything is okay, let me, that's also called rahaswadaha. No, okay, now there's a pleasure in life. Why? Because my son is doing okay, my daughter is doing okay, I am okay, I am earning well, healthy. No sort of, no, so therefore what should do? Go out for holidays and come back and then just being with this, being, it's called being contented with, the, no, that if the life goes smoothly, also there is no thought of you are not, cannot be contemplated. Your life goes smoothly, that's you are lucky. Bhagavan has blessed you with everything smoothly, things are going smoothly means, then you don't interested in anything else. It's called rahaswadaha. That's called that there is a relishing of pleasure because everything goes to your expectation smoothly. Then naturally you don't make any effort. That also becomes what is called being contented, isn't it? That's also rahaswadaha only. Which means, oh, everything is smooth, going on smoothly, but life is not the same. Life is Bhagavan's grace and everything is going on smoothly. But when I am living this life, when things are okay, I should not waste my time. I should study, I should understand, I should become contemplative, I should have this. The effort for darshanam, effort for vision must always be there. We should not be, you know, we should not, sometimes when things are okay, people are not interested in moksha purushartha. What is wrong with me? Now I'm okay. Wife is okay, husband is okay, children are okay, everything is okay, everything is fine. And then so they come and we go and have parties and go out for holidays and come back and nothing wrong, but still, isn't it? See, this day-to-day, this all, this is called relishing of joy in day-to-day, lifestyle. Just being satisfied with the lifestyle, the life you live. That picture becomes what? An obstacle. One must be a viveka, isn't it? Must come out of it. Should see the limitation. Oh, this won't last forever. Then, okay, shunyata. Shunyata here is the stabdhi bhavaha. Shabdhi bhavaha is another problem. Getting lost in thought. Called shunyata. Sometimes not deep, you are lost in, that is why I always discourage people. No, suppose, when does it happen? When does sabdi bhavaha happen? See, our real spiritual aspirant should take care of these things. We should not allow ourselves to be really too much affected by, you know, the situations. It is very natural for us to be betrayed, to be cheated, to feel cheated, also to be cheated or to, you know, the things definitely, people are different. My God, it is unacceptable for us. I trusted this person has done to me, you know, this has happened. Of course, I'm not saying completely we should be unaffected by it. It's natural for us to be affected by it, isn't it? And then still you can, you do what is possible and the right thing you can keep on doing, no problem. But you try to counteract, you know, and all the time getting worked up. Whether vikshepa will be there, otherwise, oh, totally lost in that, any deep pain, deep something, you're lost in it, it has happened, which lead to madness actually. That even though one side understanding is there, and one side, this is called blankness of mind. Mind being blank means what happens? Either there is vikshepa. The pain can result in vikshepa. Too many thoughts come all the time. Or sometimes what happens now? You're lost in it, one thing. When you're lost means blank, mind is blank, isn't it? No, nothing else comes. You say mind is lost in Swarupam of Brahman. It is moksha, isn't it? But what happens? You lost in something else. Then there's a blankness. That becomes an obstacle. It's very beautifully analyzed, isn't it? Okay. So, shunyata, evam. Like how many now? Anusandhana, rahityam, alasyam, bhogalalasam, layaha, tamaha, vikshepaha, rasaswadaha, shunyata, totally 8. But these 8 are reduced to 4 in Mandukya Upanishad. The solution also is given there. So we will learn there properly. Maybe we will see, we will hear itself later on. Evam yadu vigna bahulyam. So in such, vigna bahulyam means the plurality. Bahulyam means plurality. Okay? Bahulyam, the plurality of problems, obstacles. So these manifold obstacles are, which are there naturally, and these obstacles should be taken care of. Tyajyam. These obstacles have to be removed, to be given up, to be got rid of. Shanaihi, not overnight, slowly. See, you cannot remove any of these obstacles immediately. Oh, this is an obstacle, let me get rid of it immediately. No. Shanaihi. Slowly may one free oneself from these obstacles. May one take it, see that these obstacles are there, and what this obstacle is about, what this obstacle is, and how to remove this obstacle. Shanaihi, slowly, prudently, carefully, these obstacles have to be removed. Tyajyam. Obstacles have to be removed. By whom? Brahmavida. By the one who knows the reality. One who understood the fact of self being everything. He understood the fact, but he often forgets the fact. And the forgetfulness becomes a problem. That means the vision has yet to become ascertained, for which he has to be contemplative. Contemplative means all the time being with the vastu. Such a boring thing is not possible. Means you are not ready for the vessel. Nobody is forcing us to, isn't it? Want to be with the vastu, being with the vastu consciously. This is how Paramatma is all the time, had to be dwelling upon my understanding. But I am not able to focus on that. I am not able to see that. Mind goes, all the problems are there. Why mind, in spite of knowing, why you are not able to be contemplative? What's the problem? These eightfold problem, natural problems. Anusandhana rahityam, alasyam, bhogalalasam, layaha, tamaha, vikshepaha, rasaswadaha, shunyata. Isn't it? So all these things become the obstacles. And therefore, Brahmavida, see, the one who has not understood Brahman, he has to make effort to understand Brahman first. Before he can be with the vastu, isn't it? Now for him, for one to dwell upon the reality, he should know the reality first. Then he knows the reality, he wants to dwell upon the nature of reality, but he is not able to dwell because of the problems here. That is why these problems are discussed for whom? Not for the abrahmavid, not for the one who does not know, does not understand anything. Suppose who doesn't even study Vedanta, if I go and tell him, these are the problems you have, he'll ask, what problems? Where? When? Contemplation. What is contemplation? What is meditation? I don't need to meditate. I'm not interested. It's not for these problems, or for the one who is inclined for, or one who is qualified for contemplation. Who is the one who is qualified for contemplation? Brahmavit. Who is the Brahmavit here? One who has done Shravanam and Mananam, or one who is still doing the Shravanam and Mananam. One who is doing the Shravanam and Mananam, but who has these problems are possible later on. Even as you are doing Shravanam and Mananam itself, you have to be conscious of these problems, possible problems. You have to be cautious of this possible problems, and if you can make adequate, we can be, adequate precaution as you are doing Shravanam itself. This means the best thing is what now? When you, as you are living a life karma yoga, that's why live that consciously, because this will take care. When you are practicing puja, japaha, kayikam, vachikam, or manasam, karma, when you do mental japa, and see that you do it. Okay, so that all these obstacles will be taken care of. Sometimes now, natural problems. Okay, now some beautiful verse comes. Okay, very beautiful verse. We'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.